The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Yeah, the numbers tell the story, all right. Welcome into a numbers game. He's Kelly Bidlin. I'm Joe Serralo. Kelly, the numbers yesterday look pretty damn good, don't they? You hit your NBA best bet, 2-0 college hoops here. How about our guests? How about John Martin's night?
Don't call him John Fanta. John Martin. We're going, what, 5-0? Yeah, he texted me that last night. He's like, yeah, John Fanta's picks did pretty well yesterday.
Comes on the show. Didn't know John Martin was coming on the show, but gives out 5 winners. What a night in college hoops. Really profitable if you tailed the show. And let's see if our guests can live up to the hype. Again, here on today's program, we've got a great first hour for you. Matt Cox from Three Man Weave going to join the show, break down some more college hoops action. Sia Najad will recap some football, look ahead to some golf with our friend from the Monumental Sports Network. It's going to be another good one here on A Numbers Game. Kelly, this NBA slate tonight is jam-packed. Every team in action, that's a rarity in this league. I mean, especially in the league of load management, like I call it. So we're going to have 15 games, quite the smorgasbord, if you will, to choose from.
Yeah, it is. That's it's well said. I do have a couple bets. I will caution people. I think last week this applied to as well. This week it applies. You had the trade deadline stuff that you were dealing with after, you know, a week and a half ago spills into last week, which is everything that comes out of that. And then we're heading into the All-Star break here. And it's, you never know where guys' heads are at. People are planning look, you're either in the All-Star game and it's a little bit business as usual, but you still get a couple days off, or Joe, you know, it's a nice vacation time where these guys don't get, you know, really a big break like this during the season. So there's a lot of vacation planning going on in locker rooms right now. It always concerns me. Memphis was a nice hit last night. I did bet that pretty big. I do have a few bets today, but all scaled back. And I would kind of recommend, unless there's something you really feel strong about, scaling back your bets these next couple days over the with the NBA.
You know, sometimes the worst thing that you can have is a slate this big, right? NBA 15 games. It's why people always say, oh, college hoops Saturday when you've got over 100 games. How much action do you have? How many games are you on? And I used to, I mean, I'm talking like when I was in college, when I was a novice amateur better, Saturday would come, I'd have 15 college basketball bets. And then at the end of the day, I'd be like, well, I went 6-9 because I wasn't able to give all these handicaps the actual attention they deserve. Now I limit myself to one bet in each time window.
Okay.
And, you know, sometimes that's the danger. You get so many games on the board and you're like, ooh, that looks good. This looks good. I'm going to take a, it's like a buffet. You know, you just fill up your plate. But at the end of the day, you feel like crap.
Yeah, Greg Hoops Peterson would call you soft, bro, because I think he rolls into a Saturday
that's
with about
a hundred. That's why he's taking my job on cashing out right now.
I'm pretty sure he rolls into Saturdays with about 108 bets. So yeah,
100 bets.
I don't even know.
Wouldn't shock me.
All I remember is Greg. Once upon a time, and this is probably like 6 years ago, I'm talking on a Saturday. I was doing a show with him and he was talking through games and was talking about, yeah, I got a bet here. We go to break and I'm like, Greg, like, you just said you've got, like, 9 bets or so. Like, how many bets you got going? He's like, well, there's Saturday college basketball. There's about 120 games, so I'll have over 100 bets. I'm like, whoa.
Love the under in Tennessee Tech. Yeah, you know, can't miss that one.
Can't miss
although,
that,
you know what? Greg has rubbed off on me because I'm looking at tonight's slate, and I'm going, Robert Morris catching points in the Horizon League. It's they've been one of the best ATS teams in the country. No joke, I've actually been betting Robert Morris a ton this year over in the Horizon League. Don't have them tonight, but hey, what we had last night got home college hoops. Alabama -3 in Austin. It closed at 4.5. They win a resounding 20-point win. How about the way they shot from beyond the arc, Kelly? I know, I don't know if you were locked into that because you had your Memphis bet to tune into. 17 of 29 from three-point land.
That's going to win you most games in basketball, especially at the college level. Yeah,
especially at the level where no one can really shoot all that well or all that efficiently. Then we got home SMU, 20-point win over Pitt. You know, I'm on a 3-game win streak, college hoops, since the Super Bowl just was an absolute bloodbath and decimated me. All 3 of those games have been decided by 20 or more. It's one thing to win 3 in a row. That's manageable, right? Yeah. I mean, I'm working in this industry. I would hope you can hit 3 in a row once in a while. By 20 or more, That is such a nice feeling to have three straight no sweat winners.
Yeah, it was. I did have college basketball, you know, lack of NBA games last night. So old TV number two was going back and forth to some stuff, Joe. But I did have Bama, Texas on for a while, and I was like, wow, Joe's cruising to victory here. This is an easy one. And I had forgotten what your other play was. So I was like, yeah, I think you did go 2-0, though. It was a nice
SMU,
night.
SMU, yeah.
Nice night.
And then, you know, I always love when the games you talk about, the extra games, don't get home because it's like, all right, I'm glad that wasn't a bet. Like Syracuse lost to Miami. How do you lose to this Miami team? Their second win since the coaching change. They're like 2-20 their last 22.
Yeah,
I don't know how you lose to this
Miami team. That is weird because historically for everybody, I'm pretty sure trend or leans are like 83% winners. That's what it feels like to me.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Lifetime, all the leans that I don't actually bet on, every one of them cashes.
Yeah, that usually is how it goes. NBA, we mentioned the jam-packed slate coming up. One of the games, one of the 15, a rematch, Detroit-Chicago. Normally in this spot, I would say, oh, you got a team at home, second night in a row. Both games are in Chicago at the United Center. Now they're catching more points than they were game one, 6.5. I saw a 7 out there. No brainer, right? After getting embarrassed, you got to go back to them. I don't know if I can get there after that loss. 40-point loss to Detroit. I mean, that's one of the most embarrassing first halves I've ever seen.
Yeah, it was insane. I would say that I usually don't like to play these matchups, and there are, I think there's a couple of them tonight where we're seeing the same teams in action in back-to-back games because NBA playoff handicapping is so different than NBA regular season handicapping, and when you get these games that are set up like this, Joe, it becomes a little bit more of a playoff feel, right, of what, okay, you got time now to talk about what happened in that game, break down specific film that's not a month old or 2 months old, and can really dive into what you think you need to make adjustments with to get back at it the next night. So this is a game I'm staying away from. The injury reports, you're definitely going to want to check before this one too. But look, Drew liked the Bulls yesterday. It was a game where really didn't have anything on. They got smoked. That was over by halftime. But even that, it's hard to take too much out of a game when it's basically done at half. I think it was a 42-point lead at the half.
They had 29 points. They couldn't crack 30 in a full half.
Yeah, it was wild. It was wild.
In today's NBA, how is that even possible?
My initial thought would be like, well, okay, if a smart guy like Drew Dinsing liked the Bulls yesterday, for me, it was a little bit more of a coin flip, but now you're talking 6.5 points, it would be looking right back at Chicago.
You would go back to him?
Yeah.
I mean, it's Bulls or pass for me, but I just don't know if I can get it. It's probably going to be pass. 29 points and a half. Think about that. That'd be bad for the 80s. In today's NBA, where no one plays a lick of defense, I mean, that's just absolutely embarrassing.
Yep.
How about my Knicks? They weren't too embarrassing.
Yeah,
no OG,
good.
No problem, huh?
Yeah, that was good. Yeah, I did get in, played them a little bit small before that game. They looked good against the Pacers.
Oh, you went pre-flop? I know. You said you were going to consider maybe live.
I was looking at just the injuries. When the injury stuff started to come down, and I saw Miles Turner got ruled out. OG, we expected. So it was played the whole, okay, Turner gets ruled out. You know this is going to affect the line a little bit, but it's going to go right back when OG Anunoby gets ruled out. That's what happens. Oh,
what did you get, 2.5? The same number we had in the morning?
Exactly, yeah. It was the same exact number. So
yeah. And then it doesn't help, or it doesn't hurt, rather. Cat has a 40-point performance. How about Josh Hart? 30 points, 10 boards. I mean, he's insane. He's a guy who needs this all-star break. He's been a little banged up, and no one's really talking about it because he's always been one of those grinded-out, tough type of players. But he's playing. He's got that rib, lingering, nagging rib injury going on. And a guy who's not known for his offense goes 12 of 16 from the floor.
Yeah, it's a great point. Some of these players that we just, for whatever reason, hold them to a higher standard when it comes to playing through injuries because we've seen them do it for so long, right? It's a great point by you, Josh Hart, because, yeah, you're talking about guys that need a break. He does. I mean, regular Tibbs stuff, right? The whole starting five needs a break because they play more minutes than anybody in the NBA. It's wild. I will tell you one betting regret from that game last night, though. I no problem. As soon as Miles Turner gets ruled out, my thought goes to bet the Knicks. Okay, because who's going to stop Cat? Except the follow-up there is, well, when, why aren't you betting Cat over props, which he obviously cashed easily, because as soon as Miles Turner gets ruled out, there's not a natural go-to defender for Carl Anthony Towns.
You mean Thomas Bryant guarding Cat doesn't scare you? That doesn't strike fear into your heart?
Exactly. And no, like, and even just beyond that, right, not even the one-on-one matchup, just how good of a overall rim protector that Miles Turner is for other guys getting to the basket. You move that out of the lineup, and it's a totally different story.
You know, a guy who usually doesn't play through injury, Joel Embiid, went out there for Philly. How do they forget covering? Because it was, what, 9 and a hook?
Yeah.
Did it close that? That's what it was during the show. I don't know if it closed double digits. Forget covering. They lose outright at home to a Toronto team that not too long ago was 1-15 straight up on the road. Now they're 5-21. Ooh, they're getting hot. Watch out. I mean, Embiid gives them 27-12, 38 minutes, and they can't beat the Raptors in Philly. This team's a mess.
So, okay. I almost hate taking time to talk about the 76ers, but quick bigger picture question here. After that performance last night, because I think that was the perfect example, Embiid plays, and you lose to the Toronto Raptors. You're looking at the standings right now in the Eastern Conference. You are sitting in the 11th seed in the East. You're outside of the play-in tournament right now. You're 20-33. You're 2.5 games back of the Bulls in the play-in tournament. Yeah, you could get in there. Do you want to, though?
Plus 210 on DraftKings to make the playoffs.
To make the playoffs?
Yeah.
Yeah, that price feels... It's interesting. It feels baked in about what I'm about to say.
That's to survive the play-in, correct? When you're dealing with to make the playoffs, you got to be final eight.
Great point, Joe. Great question. Yes, if you are betting to make the playoffs, that means you have to survive the play-in tournament. So if you are
to
betting
make
teams,
the play-in, you got to lay $5.
Yeah, lay
$5. Minus -525 on Philly to make the play-in.
Is there a no price on there? I don't even know.
I don't believe so. I believe it's just to make it.
The Sixers, though, they got to start. I think they got to start thinking about what's the point of trying this season. You got aging veterans on this team anyways that could use a break. Joel Embiid's talking about needing knee surgery possibly at the end of the season anyways. Why are we trotting him out there for a team that's not going anywhere? And honestly, I think you should just be going into the tank at this point.
Yeah, I don't see him coming out of the play-in. I don't. They might not even make it there. We'll look ahead to tonight's NBA slate. On the other side, it's a numbers game. He's Kelly Bidlin. I'm Joe Cirola.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Numbers game continues with me, Joe Cirola, alongside Kelly Bidlin, taking you through a Wednesday morning here on the program. I keep having to look down at my phone to check what day it is, Kelly,
because
I had Monday off. So,
yeah.
Yesterday I slipped once and said Monday, and I almost right there was tempted to say Tuesday, and I had to look down and be like, it's Wednesday, February 12th.
I don't really know why. For some reason, Super Bowl Sunday has thrown me off, too, just all of us working Super Bowl Sunday.
Right, because usually you're off. I'm used to working Sunday, so that wasn't weird for me. Having Monday off was weird.
But, like, we all work Super Bowl Sunday. We always do that every year, so I don't really know why this is. I've done that a couple times.
It's a weird week, and it's going to get weirder when there's no sports this weekend. Just college hoops. So hopefully we have a 200 game slate on Saturday, but we do have a heavy NBA slate tonight to get to. All 30 teams in action, 15 games, tipping off at 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific, all the way through the early hours of the morning, probably on the East Coast, and of course the late night here out west. My Knicks coming off the win in Indiana. And it was a game that, you know, I didn't get to the counter on. You did late there, and the Knicks showed up. I just felt like the Knicks were going to show up for that game after what happened in the playoffs last year, last April. I had a good feeling about the Knicks in that contest. They're back at it tonight, and I don't have as good of a feeling at MSG. Now, you know, even though it's nice to be home, they're traveling from Indiana back home, so... You know, traveling without a day off in between, hosting an Atlanta team. Trae Young always seems to get up at the Garden. I feel like 8.5 points is too many. I think the Knicks could win the game, but I'm seeing 8, 8.5. And, you know, back-to-back travel day. I don't love that.
Yeah, I'm with you. Back-to-back situation. The Hawks have a day rest in between. Total's been on the move for this game. Something to watch out for this. I'm with you, Joe. This was one I looked at right away. I mean, this is probably one of the more exciting games just to watch tonight. We know what Trae Young does when he goes to the Garden. He's listed as probable right now. Guess what? Trae Young going to play. Yeah, he got a chance to play in the Garden. He's going to do that, try to drop as many points as possible. I'm not worried about that. If I was going to look anywhere, it would be Atlanta with the Knicks coming off that back-to-back. The problem is Atlanta still, after making a couple trades themselves, DeAndre Hunter, Bogdan Bogdanovic leaving town, they've got a bunch of new pieces in that they're working in. A couple starters in the lineup listed as questionable right now for this game. Vit Krejci, who they've kept starting for some reason. Him, Larry Nance Jr., both ruled out, and you might laugh at Larry Nance Jr., but like that's an important piece of their rotation these days. Both those guys have been ruled out already, so questionable lineups going in, but at the same time, I'm not running to lay eight with the Knicks at home on that back-to-back situation.
So how about another back-to-back? Phoenix hosted Memphis last night. Now they're headed to Houston. It's a lot of points, but 6.5 with the Rockets? I'm not entirely opposed to laying it with Houston there.
Okay, me either. This is not a bet for me. 6.5, 7 is what we're out to. It's just Houston's been struggling, and this is I know I'm not the first person to say it if you've watched a lot of NBA coverage, but oh man, Fred VanVleet, I apologize for apparently how underrated or overrated I thought you were basically your entire career, because ever since his absence from this lineup, Joe, this Rockets team has been struggling, and it shows. So, yeah, you, like I said yesterday, it would still be Rockets or pass here just because I cannot put any money behind this Phoenix Suns team right now.
Yeah, you said Houston's struggling. The Phoenix Suns are the epitome of struggling this season.
And more of that is just the turmoil in the locker room, right? You know Kevin Durant is not a happy guy right now. I know reports from the game last night yes, Durant met with the front office and that they're all on board together going forward and that they're going to give this their best run. But man, this is a team for the past year and a half that's never been in sync with these three guys on the floor. Even when it's just two of them, it doesn't seem like there's much of a game plan out there of exactly what they're going to do with these guys. They've gone through two coaches now, two coaches that are pretty respected coaches, and Budenholzer there now, who I love, still hasn't been able to figure out what to do with this team offensively to make them effective. I think the Suns are probably on their way to missing the playoffs, missing that play-in tournament possibly even. Shangoon's questionable tonight. For Houston, that is massive. Obviously, they got Fred VanVleet out already, like I said. Yeah, it would be Houston or pass, but you got to wait for that injury report and see if Shangoon's going to play or not.
To participate in the Western Conference play-in tournament, Phoenix only -140. I mean, is that not insane?
It's insane that we're at this point in the season and that's what we're talking about.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. That's their ceiling, essentially, at this juncture. Kelly, Oklahoma City hosting Miami. You got a best bet in this one. The Thunder laying now, I believe that number's right around 13. Is that too many points?
No, it's not, Joe. It's not.
Not enough.
This is the one bet I did make tonight. I know I talked earlier about, hey, we're getting close to All-Star break. You want to dial back a little bit. This would be a little bit bigger for me, Joe, but except for I caution anybody laying double-digit points in the NBA. All it takes is they could be up 20 with 2 minutes to go, and then you unload the benches, and you get this is where I don't like betting college basketball, because I get the try-hard kids that are coming off the bench that never see any playing time that want to go try to impress their coaches and fill it up at the end of a game when it's meaningless, and the only people that are actually worried about the results are the bettors.
Got to put Dan Hurley's kid on blast like that here on the show. Come on, Kelly. You're better than that. You're better than that.
There's someone on every team at every level of basketball. So I did lay
We had the 5'9 white kid at St. Bonaventure who would do that.
Yeah, I believe at one point they were called GPA boosters for a lot of the teams. Yeah, exactly. So Tyler Hero's questionable for this one. Jaime Jaquez Jr. questionable for this one. Kevin Love's already out. We didn't see Hero play the other day. Like we talked about the past couple days, at this point in the season, I would lean more towards Hero being out. All-Star break coming up. What's the point of putting all the pressure on him right now if he is dealing with an illness? It is an illness. It's not an injury, so if he's okay, he will go. But if he's still feeling sick at all, they'll probably just tell him to stay on the bench. No Chet Holmgren tonight for the Oklahoma City Thunder. No Cason Wallace out there still. Isaiah Joe upgraded to probable. Look, as far as this Thunder team goes, though, they are just wrecking teams right now. 20-9 ATS at home so far this season. Miami 1-5 at ATS. They're last six games. OKC 5-1 ATS their last six games. Those are just the ATS stats. We go to net rating, 14-4. Oklahoma City is straight up in their last 18 games. They have a plus 17.7 net rating. That is points scored per 100 possession minus what they give up, Joe. That's what they're doing in the NBA right now. That is first overall in the NBA. The first team in offensive rating and defensive rating over that time period. Meanwhile, Miami 8-10. The record might not look all that bad. Remember, this is going back to games though where Jimmy Butler, even, well, I guess one or two of them he was playing in. 8-10. The last
been on the roster was probably suspended for a lot of those.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but they're at minus 4.2 net in that same time. That's 23rd best in the NBA. I no idea where Miami's head's at about as they're about to head into the All Star break here. You see the names, some of their bigger players with the questionable tag tonight. That was enough for me to go out at least early and lay 12.5. When you're talking the difference between 12.5 and 13.5, it's kind of like the NFL. Is there that big of a difference when you're talking about a spread that high? No, I would still play it at this number.
How about in the prop market? Last time we saw Utah and the Lakers square off, it was Luka's debut. It was in LA. One thing that might have flown under the radar, Utah's bigs had some success in that game. Both Collins, Walker Kessler, double digits on the glass. Is that the route you're going back to?
Yeah, I mean, look, we talked about of what yesterday. What are the ways to play the Lakers or attack the Lakers, after post this Luka Doncic trade? And look, it's more about the Mark Williams trade not going through for me. And I think there is a major, major problem right now. We saw Alex Len just sign with the Lakers yesterday. Good. They got a big in there. They need a big at all.
Did you see Stephen A. Smith with a straight face suggest that they go get Dwight Howard? I was on a TV show with Dwight Howard a year and a half ago. He was on the stage singing in that TV show. Dwight Howard is far from being in the NBA.
I mean, Joe, this is where they're at, though. Like, this is like people acting like it's a championship that they signed Alex Len yesterday. And I'm like, okay, well, like, let's pump the brakes.
You need football back. That's what this means.
He is not that great. However, the Lakers are so desperate for anybody with size that I don't know. Dwight Howard might not be a bad idea, actually. But yes, I'm going back to Walker Kessler here. Played over his rebounds in that game. I went double-double here. You could play over his rebounds, but you're going to be laying juice on like 11.5. I played just a double-double prop on him, laid minus 133 on that. Again, it's not like Walker Kessler is one of their go-to scorers, but when you have limited size opposing you on the offensive side too, I expect him to get double-digit points, double-digit rebounds. So those are my two bets. I did add one more small. I don't think I wrote it on the rundown.
No, you didn't. You're throwing me for a loop here. Second day in a row.
Just another. not that bad. Not bad this time, Joe. I'm laying. Whoa, this is out to 7 already. Okay, maybe I shouldn't talk about this. I laid 5 with the Warriors this morning against the Dallas Mavericks. It is out to 7.
But you're going to say the Wolves.
Warriors. Yeah, sorry. Yeah. Warriors against the Mavericks. This is just this Mavericks team. Man, the AD stuff post Luka, I'm going to continue to fade them. 5 I thought was a little steep though. I played this small laying 5 out to 7. I'd say pump the brakes. This would not be a play for me at this point. I did not realize it had gone up this much this morning.
Folks, if you want to bet smarter, start with Smarter Insights. Right now, check out tremendous articles like Wes Reynolds' Genesis Invitational Picks, Greg Peterson's Best Bets in College Hoops, and Steve Mackinnon's Daytona 500 and NASCAR Season Preview. Later today, Jonathan Davis's Four Nations Best Bets will be up for Canada-Sweden. Zach Cohen will have Best Bets in the NBA and more. So get access to all those articles on VSiN.com. Right now, you can sign up for as little as $9.99 your first 30 days. Just head to VSiN.com/subscribe now. College Hoops with Matt Cox from Three Man Weave. On the other side, it's a numbers game. Kelly Bidlin and Joe Serallo.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Ever had your deposit blocked by your bank right before a big bet?
Yep.
How about needing cash at 2 a.m. for another shot at the tables, but Kelly already hit his ATM limit?
Yep.
Edge Boost has got your back. Edge Boost is the first ever bank account built for bettors. With Edge Boost, all your gambling-related transactions will always be approved. That means no more headaches. For you high rollers like Kelly, you can move up to a quarter mil a day on your Edge Boost Visa debit card with unlimited withdrawals. This works 24/7 for instant deposits. So, Kelly, when you're out with Matt Brown playing craps, neither of you ever have to wait for a wire to clear again. And it gets better. Every time you deposit into a gambling account, you earn cash back rewards up to 0.5%. All this for no usage fees, no minimum balance. It's a bank account, folks, not a credit card, so there's no approval required and no annoying credit checks. Lastly, Edge Boost has a suite of responsible gaming tools to help you manage your bankroll and make informed decisions. So what the hell are you waiting for? Go to edgeboost.bet. That's edgeboost.bet. Use the promo code ANG to start at tier 2 for faster bank transfers and higher cashback rewards. Joe Serralo here alongside Kelly Bidlin, a numbers game, back from the break, and we're getting ready to take you folks to the Progressive guest line now. Back-to-back nights with a big college basketball card. Let's welcome in our friend Matt Cox from the Three-Man Weave to break it down. Matt, how you doing today? Oh, it looks like we lost Matt's audio there. Did you hear him, Kelly?
We'll try without the mute.
There we go. All right, Matt, welcome into the show, my man.
How are you doing today? I'm doing lovely. I just recited so nice on my prompter here. Yeah.
Doing fantastic, man. A lot of A-10 action, so you know I'm excited for that. I'm not playing anything with my Bonnies, although catching points at Rhode Island, I'm a little intrigued. But you've got some A-10 action as your best bet. What do you like?
Yeah, actually, I did look at the Bonnies there. They've been struggling, though, man. I don't know if I trust that team right now. I wonder if they just played out of their skis to start the year. But anyway, yeah, so my actual play here is George Washington, the nation's capital, down at Foggy Bottom. They're hosting a red-hot VCU team who's been awesome. But we've seen the A-10 really be like this parody piranha. Like, they all eat each other at home, it seems like. VCU's been awesome, but they've looked vulnerable. Again, they went on the road to your Bonnies, struggled at SLU, struggled. I think these home games with these top-end teams, and for the most part, there's not really any dead weight in this conference. And George Washington's got talent. They've played well at home. They've notoriously been like a very strong home road team. I'm not really sure why, but Chris Caputo's teams have always just played much better in the friendly confines there. And I just think this is a game where they can rise. I worry about the young backcourt against VCU's pressure, but I trust younger guards at home and more of a, like I said, a kind of a friendlier confines type environment. Kind of a rise to the occasion home dog here for +9. The Revolutionaries, as they're so now lovingly called.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot about the mascot change there with GW. What are your thoughts on the A-10? Because this was looking like a conference to me earlier in the year when Dayton was on a roll playing out of their minds and VCU and the Bonnies looked strong. I was hoping we could get back to our ways of having, you know, 2-3, in some cases in the past, 4 tournament teams. I was just hoping to be a multi-bid conference. Just get me 2 in there. Is there any path to the A-10 getting 2 teams in the field in March Madness? Can VCU, if they don't win it all for the A-10 tournament, can they get an at-large, or is this a one-bid league?
I think it's going to ultimately be a one-bid league. I mean, VCU's resume is decent. I think they're sort of outside bubble-ish. Obviously, what George Mason's doing, you know, they're right in that mix too. And then Dayton, you know, did they do enough in the non-con? I think at this point they've torpedoed their non-con cloud. If I look at the updated bracket matrix, but I believe it's a few days behind, I think VCU and George Mason both ahead of Dayton in the overall, you know, kind of bracket S curve that goes down to like 80 or 90 teams. It's going to be tough, man. I just think that with the rest of this league, how solid the middle is, I think all 3 of these teams will take an extra loss or 2, honestly, in conference. Even George Mason, who's been tremendous. I mean, probably could have lost, should have lost last night in OT at St. Louis. I just think there's too many landmines left for all 3 of them to feel secure about a 2-bid league. Since I don't think any of them have a slam dunk at large resume right now.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you on this one, Matt. And it breaks my heart because, you know, you want a competitive conference, but this conference is actually so deep this year that, like you said, they're kind of eating each other on this one. How about the Missouri Valley Conference? That's another fun mid-major conference. Belmont, they've been having a great year in terms of their record, 17-8, 9-5 conference play. Not one of the better teams, though, ATS in the Missouri Valley, just 4-9-1 in terms of covering. They head to a weak Valpo squad laying 4.5. Are you willing to lay it with them?
I'm laying it. Yeah, the Bruins have been, they're always good. I think even this year I undersold them a little bit. They got some new guards they brought in. I was a little bit skeptical, but that backcourt's looked really good recently, and they run a very sublime offense. And when they're in sync and in rhythm, they're really tough to stop. Especially for a young Valpo group who has seen this before, right? They already played once this year, but I'm sort of in the camp that this Valpo team was fun and plucky to start the season, but this younger team is at a spot in the standings, at a spot in the year in the MVC where it's, I think their destiny in terms of a play-in team in the Arch Madness is already kind of set in stone. I'm not saying they're a full white flag quit team, but I just don't think there's going to be a lot of fight or a lot of bite at home. And we've seen some of these short road favorites be pretty good bets recently with a lot of the home court value overinflated in the market. So far this year, by the way, the Valley 34-50 against the spread home teams. Not very good. So road teams flipped that 50-34 against the number. historically a pretty strong conference in terms of home court. So it's sort of an odd development this season. I don't know why. It could very well just be noise or randomness. Still, I am leaning that way with Belmont tonight, a team I just trust more, with more to play for against a team that I think could bend if there's any sign of adversity tonight.
Yeah, it's weird. You know, I've got to play in this conference later on in the program. And, you know, you look at Drake and Illinois State. Those two teams are squaring off. Both better against the number on the road than they are at home. Illinois-Chicago has been a cash cow as a road dog. At home, not so much. This entire conference, to your point, much better at covering on the road. I want to ask you about a team or a matchup in Valpo's old conference, the Horizon League. Robert Morris going to Cleveland State. They're catching 4.5. These are two teams that have been tremendous this year against the number. I've been playing Robert Morris a lot. It was 3.5 yesterday. I was going to stay away at 4.5. I'm considering taking the points. Which way would you go with that matchup?
I lean your way as well. I know Cleveland State's been tremendous. But Bobby Moe has been nothing short of splendid themselves. They really only had a couple of slip-ups so far in conference. That was due to, I think, a couple of key personnel losses. They lost one of their best players in one of those losses. You take that away, I mean, they haven't done much wrong. Now, Cleveland State's been operating at a different level. I still don't think they're emphatically the better team than Robert Morris. So I think if you played these two teams 7 games on a neutral NBA style, I think it's a 7-game series. Bobby Moe's got real talent this year. I love that Andy Toole basically said, screw it, I'm tired of underachieving. Got a whole new assistant crop, brought in a whole bunch of new types of players, a lot of talent with athleticism and size. Like, they're defending much better finally this season. And I think that's going to play well here on the road. I like 6 or 7 just because of how much I'm afraid to get in front of the Viking train, to be honest. But I do lean your way, though, at 5.
Yeah, 4.5 right now seems to be the number that's most out there. All right, let's talk about the game of the night, Matt. St. John's, Villanova. Rick Pitino has gone full Lazarus effect on this program, bringing him back from the dead. Best St. John's team of my lifetime. I'm going to assume best St. John's team of your lifetime as well. You can get him now laying just 1.5. Opened at 2.5, got up to 3.5. Now we're seeing 1.5. Floating around there at a few shops in town. Would you lay it with the Johnnies on the road or coming off that Friday night win at UConn? Do you think this could be a letdown?
This one's tough for me. I think if you really like this St. John's momentum, you're actually getting a decent price here. And I say decent because I'm probably a little bit higher than most people on terms of Villanova stock. They're at like 52 at KenPom right now, started at 20. I think the truth is somewhere in the middle. Frankly, Kyle Neptune obviously is a coach that many folks there in Philly want ousted, but his talent is so real. Eric Dixon is such a mismatch nightmare. But St. John's has ton of, you know, their wing, power wing contingent is sort of built to negate, at least double and effectively thwart what Dixon can bring. You make the others of Villanova beat you. I think that's a good recipe for success here on the road. Ideally in the Johnnies, again, not a great price bargain, but it's hard to find those in February, honestly. So easy pass for me.
Yeah, I'm excited for this game. Just as, you know, someone who grew up a St. John's fan, I can't wait to see what they bring to Nova tonight. I've seen Nova lay a lot of ass whoopings on them, Matt. Last one I want to get to, Ole Miss, South Carolina. Rebels laying 4 to 4.5 against the Gamecocks team. It's 0-10 straight up, 5-5 against the number in conference play. Would you lay it with the Rebels on the road, or do you think South Carolina can cover at home?
I do. I mean, South Carolina has, I know they haven't won a game this calendar year, but every home game they are competitive. I mean, just go through the results so far. Like, they have been in every single game at home. They got Jamiri Thomas back a few games ago. At least he's, you know, a proven veteran point guard, and that's kind of been the recipe for Paris's success. He has older, grittier teams. It does feel like a trap. I'm not saying it's a trap line, but it does feel like a trap spot for me, because I like Ole Miss. I want to back them, I think, more often than not, but I don't think this is the spot to do it here.
It's a trap.
What was that, Kelly?
It's a trap. That
was my entire contribution to this.
That was great. I was not expecting you to say anything. That just threw. I'm like, we're talking college basketball, and Kelly just opened his mouth. What's going on here?
I could cut into the conversation for that. Yeah.
Thank you for that meaningful contribution. Matt, thank you for your meaningful contribution. Make sure you check him out, the terrific work he does over at Three Man Weave. Matt Cox, really appreciate the time, man.
Appreciate you, boys. Good luck tonight.
That was great, Kelly. Thank you for that.
See, Joe, that reference was from this old sci-fi film called Star Wars. You might have heard of it. It was way before.
I've heard of it. I just refuse to watch it. I'd rather watch VMI and UNC Greensboro than Star Wars. VMI 10-2 against the number, by the way. Might add that to the card. More numbers game after the break. He's Kelly Bidlin. I'm Joe Cirola.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Numbers Game continues. He's Kelly Bidlin. I'm Joe Cirillo, taking you through your Wednesday morning and now taking you back over to the Progressive guest line as we get ready to welcome in Sia Nejad into the program, host and analyst for the Monumental Sports Network. Sia, it's great to have you on. How are you, man?
Very well. I'm actually a little depressed that football season is over, but good news. Every week we get a new slate of golf, so that's always fun. But yeah, I'm doing very well.
Second time I think Sia is going to be angry at me about this, but so Joe's filling in this week, right, Sia? So we're talking about guests after the show yesterday, what we're going to be doing today, and we're going over some things, and I'm explaining a little bit your background, and we're walking out of the sports book here at Circa, the beautiful, massive sports book with all the screens, and front and center CBS HQ on Sia John. I'm like, oh, that guy right there. I'm like, sorry, I should have sent a picture and sent it to you. I think I did that the last time, and Sia got upset with me.
Which brings us to an even more important question. Why the hell was CBS Sports on the big screen and not VSiN here at Circa? That's a question for another day. But see, you looked great. I will tell you. I saw you next to McKenzie. You guys looked great together up there. Let's dive into this Super Bowl because we're getting more headlines coming out today. And obviously the game, I mean, you know, it comes, it goes. You spend 2 weeks talking about it. And now 2 days later, it feels like it's old news that you can't keep talking about it. But the new headline this morning, I was looking at Travis Kelce saying that he didn't do a good enough job motivating his guys, that he got too emotional. Of course, I mean, all you see at any network is Kelce on that play where Mahomes is scrambling and he's just standing still there. Now you look at the future of Kansas City and they're a bit strapped in terms of cap space, still 7-1, second shortest odds to win the Super Bowl next year. But where do you see Kelce as a part of this team's future? What do you think the offseason holds for Kansas City?
Oh, we'll leave it to Travis Kelce to try to grab some extra attention 2 days after the Super Bowl. Very on brand. I don't think he's going to retire. I think he's, I mean, I don't have any inside information here. I do think he's going to give it another year. I mean, this Kansas City Chiefs team, I don't think they're the best team in the AFC going into next year. They might not even be the second best team in the AFC, but they certainly can contend for another Super Bowl as long as you have Patrick Mahomes and some of the pieces on this team. I think there's a lot of issues with this team, and you know, Travis Kelce's age is a small part of that. With that said, I mean, if I'm Travis, I'm sticking around. I think this is going to be a very, very competitive team. Obviously, they need to do some things in the offseason. They need to kind of fix their offensive line, which is like a major factor in the Super Bowl. I mean, as much credit as we want to give Jalen Hurts and the receivers and Cooper DeJean, I mean, this game was over before it started because of the defensive line. They absolutely dominated, and there was nothing Kansas City could do about it. So if they can shore that up, Travis Kelce and company might be enjoying another Super Bowl trip next year.
Yeah, this game was a bloodbath from the start. It was the Tampa Bay Super Bowl all over again. And what did Kansas City do? They shored up the O-line. They didn't get back there the next year, but then they rattled off two straight after that. Sia, one more question I got to ask you in regards to the NFL before we dive into some golf here. Aaron Rodgers, there's odds for his next team up on DraftKings. The Steelers at 2-1 are the favorite in that market. I don't know if you've seen what Deshaun Elliott just posted on social media with regards to Aaron Rodgers saying, quote, no, leave his ass at the retirement home. Steelers safety, Deshaun Elliott. Where do you think Rodgers ends up next season? And do you think that there's going to be an issue of guys not wanting to play with him?
Well, that's pretty decisive from Deshaun Elliott. I wonder if he ran that by somebody, because Deshaun Elliott's a pretty bright guy. I kind of feel like if he said that, he might have had some backing from some Pittsburgh brass, because that's an odd thing to say if you're not sure if Pittsburgh wants him or not. Looking at these odds here, I mean, I think, listen, the Raiders are interesting. We know Tom Brady is, you know, Tom Brady kind of leading the charge there. If it's between like Sam Darnold for a long contract and Aaron Rodgers for a one-year deal, I don't know that I don't choose Aaron Rodgers in that scenario and just kind of go for it. Outside of that, though, I don't think there's a lot of suitors for Aaron Rodgers. I mean, I think the Giants would potentially be in play for a year. San Francisco, not really. I saw those odds were up there. I don't know. I mean, I don't know that there's going to be a home for him. And I think this could end poorly from a PR standpoint, because he might be waiting on a phone call midseason because of an injury. And I'm talking next season midseason.
Yeah, I think that's probably most likely what we're looking at. I read a couple reports about the Titans being linked to him. I'm like, Aaron Rodgers is going to go play for the Titans? I don't think that's happening. So, I think what Sia laid out, probably more likely. All right, Sia, let's switch to golf. Genesis Invitational going down this week. For those of you who are not covering golf or watching golf regularly, we have switched venues for this. We're going down to Torrey Pines South. We'll play all four rounds on Torrey Pines South because of the wildfires that took place around Riviera. So we will be going to Torrey Pines for this one. This is a signature event. So if you're playing one and done, everything, keep that in mind. 72 golfers in this field, big money cash prizes up for this. Top 50 in ties is the cut. It is that weird cut that we get with a couple of these signature events. See, before we get into everything that you played, just kind of big things that stick out to you about this tournament in a new location and things people need to know.
Yeah, new location, old location, in the sense that we just saw this at the Farmers a few weeks ago. But I do think the setup is going to be different in terms of it's going to be a harder setup. And I do think it's going to play longer. We know that there's a lot of weather coming that way, or actually probably underway at this point. It's going to be waterlogged to some degree. And that means you're not going to get the rollout that you would have at the Farmers. And I know some people that are course side, if you will, like Keith Stewart, for example, from Read the Line. And he's telling me that this is like a major setup, or at least that's how it's going to feel, which frankly leads me to some of the better players in terms of like the outrights. I'm not really going down the board, and to the extent I am going down the board, it would be in like the without Scotty and Rory McIlroy market, because I do think the way this is going to set up, the length you're going to need, the long iron play you're going to need, the around the green play that you're probably going to need, I think this is a big boy one.
Yeah, I'm with you there. We discussed this a little bit on Long Shots yesterday, by the way, up on YouTube. Where you can get all your podcasts right now. Check out myself, Matt Brown, and Wes Reynolds breaking down the tournament. We were talking about the whole, okay, Scotty Scheffler or Rory, and it's just no knock on Scotty Scheffler, but is he fully back? And Rory, really impressive, I thought, at Pebble. I'll start right there with your card, my man. I see Rory McIlroy right there at the top.
Yeah, it's going to be Rory over Scotty. It is as much an odds thing as anything. Like, for example, if you had Rory at plus 400 and you had Scotty at plus 650, I'd probably be like, oh, I'll just take Scotty. And I'm not saying they're one and the same, but I do like Rory's tempo coming in. Obviously, we've seen him win. And as far as, I mean, tempo is a weird word to use, but it probably applies more to Scotty Scheffler. Like, I'm not sure he's fully back in automation mode like we normally see him. I could be wrong there. I mean, obviously, round four is the back nine of round four is sort of sticking out to me, and that could be nothing. That could just be his frustration in missing a short putt and then just crumbling down the stretch. But I do like how Rory sets up for this course. I do like for Scotty too, but if I have to pick between the two, I'm gonna go Rory, because again, I think this is like a really good course fit for him, and I know he's probably in better form than Scotty in terms of Scotty's bar and Rory's bar.
Yeah, I'm with you there. Rory did rate out a little higher for me this week. Now, ask me if I'm betting a matchup with Rory over Scotty Scheffler. No, I'm going to stay away. I still got too much respect and fear for Scotty Scheffler. We do share one on here. Share a couple, kind of. But Ludwig, I am on outright wise. Am I missing something here? I feel like we're getting a little bit of a price break on him because he had the tummy issues for a couple weeks. But, I mean, that was a couple weeks ago. I'm expecting a fully healthy Ludwig Oberg, and this is a course I think that lines up very well for him, and we're getting him kind of in a mid-20s price. Are you thinking along the same lines as me here?
I mean, if Ludwig never got sick and never had to withdraw from the subsequent tournament, we could be looking at 14-1 Ludwig Oberg here. You know what I'm saying? So like, yeah, he's one of the best in the field. And if Rory and Scotty, you know, just have average tournaments, like who's going to be the guy that's going to step up and take the tournament? Now, Ludwig doesn't close a lot. He hasn't won a lot, but he's also a young player, and we know the talent is there. I mean, I just think he's a great course fit. The fact that you can get him between 22-1 and 25-1, I don't want to say like it's a joke. Everybody should like lock it up because this is golf at the end of the day. But the long and short of it is he should be somewhere between 14-1 and 16-1, and he's not. So I'm going to grab the 22-25, and I'll throw in Robert McIntyre there too, because I think these hard courses, I think it is important to focus on guys that can get it done off the tee, which he can get it done with a short game and a proven winner. So at 45-1, I like him. And also in that without market, I would consider Robert McIntyre as well. Lesser odds.
Yeah, I like that. Bobby Mack, especially if we got some weather coming in, I like that play. You got a tournament matchup, Wyndham Clark over Cameron Young. I think that one makes a lot of sense. Gary Woodland, I keep betting and keep earning money on, but I love Gary Woodland this week as well. You're the first round leader, King. Want to hit that quick before we get out of here? Two on the card for you, my friend. Talk us through those.
I'll probably add a third. I mean, it's only a 70-person field, so I can't go 4 or 5 deep here. Yeah. But Robert McIntyre for sure at plus 4,000. Taylor Pendrith is the other one. Robert McIntyre is my favorite. Both of these guys go out relatively early. Taylor Pendrith at 35-1. I don't think Taylor Pendrith can win this tournament given this field, but he might be able to because he's really playing well. But I just expect him more to spike in a first round or in one round versus all four against this competition. So I like both of those guys. Again, I might add another one, but Pendrith at 35, Robert McIntyre at 40.
Thea, phenomenal stuff, man. Thank you so much for the time. Really appreciate you hopping on.
All right, gentlemen, a pleasure.
Thea Najad, make sure you check him out at the Monumental Sports Network. Great stuff there on the upcoming Genesis Invitational and these NFL players not wanting to work with Aaron Rodgers. We'll dive more into that up next. I can't wait to see how this progresses. I personally love the fact that no one wants Rodgers on their team. More Numbers Game. He's Kelly Bidlin. I'm Joe Serallo. Up next.